I can't stand troublemakers who get away with their bad behavior. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, and there was this guy who always wanted to copy my math homework. He was popular, and I wanted him to like me. So I let him copy my homework. And I rationalized my dishonesty by telling myself, well, he is hurting no one but himself. Eventually, it will catch up to him, and he will get what he deserves. At the end of the year, when we compared our report cards, guess what? I got a B, and he got an A. I felt like a fool. He had used me. I thought he was supposed to be hurting no one but himself. Huh? But he hurt me. This is not right. A greedy executive cooks the books, robs the employees of their pension and retirement savings, and it's legal. I want the rat to pay. This is no time to forgive and forget. Let us have no syrupy moral ooze masquerading as Christian mercy. Sinners must pay for their crimes. No one should get off the hook. Think of the worst thing that some troublemaker has ever done to you. Perhaps it was a promotion that should have rightfully gone to you, but instead went to that other lying, conniving, backstabbing, self-serving, ladder-climbing opportunist. Or maybe it was a way you got cheated on a business deal, or the way someone stole or hurt you in a way that was patently unfair. Such memories leave deep bruises. The scars do not disappear. So is it not right that we should make them fess up and pay for their wrong? Is this not what Jesus describes in today's gospel? He says, if your brother or sister sins against you, tell them about it. And if that doesn't work, take them before someone else. And if they still not do right, take them in front of the whole church. And if that fails to get them straightened out, treat them as a Gentile and tax collector. We like the sound of those words. That'll show the troublemakers. Confront them with their wrong. And if they fail to repent, let them, as the Gospel of Matthew often likes to say, be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, treat them like Gentiles and tax collectors. And we breathe a sigh of relief, glad that Jesus is finally drawing a line in the sand. If he had not, there would be no end to the troublemaking. Then where would we be? In a world of moral relativism where no one stands for anything, someone must be willing to say, enough is enough. Gentiles? Yes. We know who those Gentile troublemakers are. Those of another race, another religion, foreigners, immigrants, all those people who aren't like us. The godless and immoral, who have no respect for God's people, the ones who want the crosses removed, won't even let the schools sing Christmas carols. Tax collectors? We know who those tax collectors are. Those who collaborate with Rome, with big government, with the deep state. to fleece their own people, who cheat the system to pad their own pockets. Thank God that Jesus finally draws the line. Toleration will have its limits. But then we watch Jesus. You know, there are times when he can pull a fast one on you. There are moments, even in a gospel as straightforward as Matthew's, when you think that Jesus means one thing, only to discover that he actually means something quite different. Sometimes you have to interpret what Jesus says by what he does. We think we know who the troublemakers are. We think we know who are the Gentiles and the tax collectors. We think we know who needs to be shown the door. Those troublemakers standing over there. But what if that is not what Jesus means? Remember when Jesus was often criticized for hanging out with tax collectors and Gentiles and other such troublemakers? Even worse, he actually seemed to delight in hanging out with them. Jesus coddled the very troublemakers who were making a mess of this world. They ought to be asked to leave and not welcome to the dinner table. From the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we see God's interest in troublemakers. Remember how the first to show up in Bethlehem for Jesus' birth were the wise men, the magi, Gentiles. One of Jesus' first healings in Matthew was of a servant of a Gentile, Roman army officer. One day, Jesus called a man named Matthew to be one of his disciples. And do you remember what Matthew was doing for a living? He was a, God forbid, tax collector. Are you beginning to understand what Jesus meant when he told his disciples to treat the troublemakers like Gentiles and tax collectors? He is more interested in hanging out with them than in showing them the door. We come to church looking for Jesus to assure us that we are not one of the troublemakers. We want him to help us draw the line between the saints and the sinners, between those who take God and their church commitments seriously and those who do not, between us and them. And we use these words from Matthew 18 to help us draw the line. But maybe we are already standing on the wrong side of the line. Oh, for do we not love a juicy piece of gossip? You know, gossip begins when someone skips the first step of Matthew 18. If someone has a gripe with a troublemaker, Jesus says that the first and most important step is to go to that troublemaker personally, privately, discuss your gripe. And that means when someone comes to us with a gripe about someone else, the first question we need to ask them, have you gone and talked to that troublemaker? And usually have not. And they've got a long list of excuses as to why talking with that troublemaker is going to be a waste of time. It's just not going to work. If that's the case, then that conversation needs to stop right there. We shouldn't even listen to them. But we don't. For we love to hear the dirt. Our willingness to listen only lends credibility then to what may be nothing more than a lie. Even worse, it appeals to our Old you, our sinful nature that only wants to get down and get dirty about someone else. So that then we can feel better about ourselves. So I guess we shouldn't be so surprised that social media these days is often filled with anger and indignation and accusations, and nobody's talked to anybody. Who is the problem here? Who are the troublemakers? Who are the Gentiles and tax collectors? As that cartoon character Pogo years ago once said, "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." We thought that Jesus was giving us a strategy to clean house and get rid of the troublemakers. But it is actually a picture of how God relentlessly pursues troublemakers like us. God never gives up. That's why God sent Jesus. And Jesus not only speaks about God's extravagant love, Jesus acts on God's extravagant love. So he hangs out with those despicable troublemakers, Gentiles and tax collectors and people like us. Even to the point of dying between two of them. Two troublemakers. Jesus repeatedly hangs out with troublemakers who do not deserve to be part of God's people. And Jesus never refuses, he never gives up on them. And never gives up on us. Jesus follows troublemakers like us, even into the grave, defying God's own criticism of such troublemakers. But surprise, on that third day, the grave spits out Jesus. And contrary to what we expected, God approves of everything Jesus not only said, but did. Ah, that's my boy. And even more, God brings us with Jesus out of the grave and gives us a whole new world. And in this new world, God's love for troublemakers will not be thwarted. Jesus invites us in this new world to treat troublemakers as he treated us troublemakers. He sends first one, and then two, and three, and then the whole church after us. And Jesus, God, is determined to win us back with relentless, persistent, never-ending compassion. So we can do the same. Trusting him, wonderful things happen. Like we find it necessary no longer to cut down others to size. We no longer need to settle scores or get back and get even or indulge in gossip as if that way we can show that we are somebody. For in Christ, God has already made us somebody. So we can live differently. We can tell the truth in love. We can admit that we have wronged someone and be forgiven. We can be a community and a church and a family that stands for something, for listening, for caring and forgiving and speaking the truth. And from that, we will never back down. For that is the business of the church. That is how we deal with Gentiles and tax collectors and troublemakers. We don't exclude them. We include them. And we invite them to join us on our knees. And all of the other troublemakers who are with us here today and don't have a leg to stand on. For here, in this place, in the church, Gentiles and tax collectors welcome one another. Here, one troublemaker welcomes another troublemaker, daring to believe that we, this motley crew, is just the kind of people that Jesus wants to save. What do you think of that, fellow Gentiles and tax collectors? Amen. Let us rise for the hymn.